나무 다세 바그도 아라하토 삼마 삼부다세 나무 다세 바그도 아라하토 삼마 삼부다세 나무 다세 바그도 아라하토 삼마 삼부다세 last couple of weeks actually we were discussing Dvaitanu Pasana Sutta, which is available in the Sutta Nipata, which is a very interesting sutta and fairly profound sutta, discussing about the aim of our practice. And the aim basically does not mention here as the ultimate goal, rather in order to reach the ultimate goal, how ultimately we come to a kind of a concluding practice. There are various different kinds of practices that we may be getting involved with. Ultimately, they can drill down to one particular important practice, and such important practices are mentioned here. So there are such 16 practices explained in this sutta, and Buddha is now explaining these to the venerable monks one after the other. So at that moment actually the monks are in a very diligent state, and they all are practicing really well. So Buddha was inspired by their sight and basically then delivered this sutta. And again, you need to understand this is not in a way a little bit of beginner stuff, rather a little bit of advanced where a certain yogi has went through a certain amount of vipassana practice, and for such person how he is going close to or going towards a particular destination, particular concluding type of practice. Now, not necessary to look for everything else. Okay, I can kind of decide on this particular practice. I can continue this practice. Now it has drilled down to this one. So something like that. Now, under these practices, Buddha first talk about the Four Noble Truths. So there are the Four Noble Truths are categorized into two sides. The first two truths are causing the suffering. That is one contemplation, and the other two noble truths are causing the cessation of suffering. So those are the two contemplations included in the first practice. The second one is related to acquisitions, what we call as the upadhis. We are all different kinds of acquisitions. We can think of all five aggregates, where time to time we grasp and think that we are one of them and I am that. So likewise we acquire that, and there may be certain other situations like various external objects like sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles. So those are also wonderful, and sometimes we attach to them, we consider them as myself. So likewise that is also there, and various defilements are there. We recognize with them, we identify with them. So likewise, these acquisitions are various, and all that, by the way, causes suffering. So that is one contemplation. And if we are able to let go of all those acquisitions, so that is the freedom of suffering. So that is the second concluding kind of practice Buddha summarized in this sutta. Then the third one is related to ignorance. Whatever suffering originates, that all originates because of ignorance, avijja. If one is able to abandon that avijja, so then there is no suffering. So concluding point is here the avijja, ignorance. So one needs to abandon avijja. And there may be various methods available for that, and one may be continuing such methods further and further to develop the wisdom, so that avijja, the ignorance, can be dispelled. And then number four, the fourth kind of concluding practice is related to volitional activities, sankharas. So whatever suffering arises, that happens because of sankhara. Yam kinchi dukkham sambhavati sabbang sankhara paccaya. So one recognizes how these volitional activities are causing suffering. Maybe certain amount of agitation in one's mind. So that is what referred here. And then the second contemplation is the calming down of all sankharas, cessation of all sankharas, and that is where the freedom happens. සංඛාරානන්තේව අසේස විරාග නිරෝධා නත්ති දුක්ඛස සම්භවෝති. So if one is able to fade away all the cessations, all the volitional activities, sankharas, volitional formations, so that leads to a peaceful state of mind. And number five is with respect to consciousness. Yam kinchu dukkhan sambhavati sabbang vijnana paccaya. So that is actually fairly deep, how consciousness causes suffering. So here the consciousness is the constructed consciousness or prepared consciousness, manifested consciousness, where in Pali it is called as abhisankata vijnana, patitthita vijnana, sankata vijnana, we can say abhisankata vijnana. So the further constructed consciousness. Once we see something, we can't merely restrict or keep it at the seeing level, but we add different things and then we multiply that. We slowly establish ourselves there, our mind get established there. So the consciousness is established. So this established consciousness causes suffering. So the freedom of suffering is the cessation of this constructed consciousness, established consciousness. So ultimately we can say the consciousness is freed, unestablished. So that is with respect to consciousness, Buddha comes with this concluding practice. Then the next one is based on the contact, that is the passa. Yam kinchu dukkhaṃ sambhavati sabbaṃ passa paccaya. Different kinds of contacts are happening through the eyes we see, through the ears we hear, through the nose we can smell, through the tongue we can taste, through the body we can recognize or we can go through certain tangibles, and through the mind we can know, cognize mental objects. So when we are handling these six sense bases, that basically if we are not mindful, if we are basically unmindful, it can cause us havoc inside. So basically some certain kind of agitation can happen when we have unguarded senses. And as a result of that, we get into further and further suffering. So inner peace is lost. You become completely bewildered by all these sense impingements. So it causes suffering. Peace is not available there, you start again burning. But on the other hand, passasattveva asesa viraga nirodha natti dukkhasa sambhavati. So if we are able to come to a state where contact has completely faded away, its function has stopped, then there is no suffering. So that is the good side. Or we can say the supramundane side. Now, as you can see, these discussions are very much like aligned with two sides. The first contemplation is always talking about the suffering. That is where the mundane side. On the other hand, the second contemplation is helping us to navigate towards the supramundane, the lokottara side. Then the next one is related to feelings. Last time we discussed this, last week. So whatever suffering arises, that happens because of feelings. Yam kinchi dukkhaṃ sambhavati sabbaṃ vedanā paccaya. As a result of feelings, the suffering happens. On the other hand, if it is possible to fade away the feelings, if there are no such conditioned feelings are going on, so then one can say one's mind is peaceful. The feelings are abandoned, so they are the peaceful state of mind, serene state of mind can be available. So with respect to feelings, so how one can recognize feelings, how one can abandon that without grasping them, so that we discussed last time. Now we can come to the next concluding kind of practice. So Buddha asked, now if someone is asking, is there any other kind of practice that you can say which will ultimately drill down your whole effort or all your practice? Then Buddha says, now already we discussed seven kinds of such concluding type of practices, aims, and Buddha say yes, we can say another one. So that is based on craving. So this is in a way a known one, fairly common to us, somewhat heard about it. Yankichi dukkhan sambhoti sabbhang tanha paccha. Tanhayatveva asesa viraga nirodha nati dukkhasa sambhavoti ayan tutiyanu pasana. So this basically aligns with the noble truths. So the second noble truth is the cause of suffering, that is tanha. Dukkha samudayam ariya satcham. So that is what the tanha, so this is exactly what is mentioned here. Yankinja dukkhan sambhoti sabbang tanha paccha. So suffering happens because of craving. So in the Four Noble Truths also we know that Buddha summarizes the whole thing, that the suffering happens because of craving. Dukkha samudaya is the tanha, craving. On the other hand, the supramundane side is the nirodha, where the cessation of craving. So that is what exactly mentioned in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta as well. Tanhayatveva asesa viraga nirodha nati dukkhasa sambhava. Now if we are able to completely eradicate, uproot, abandon that craving, then there is no suffering. So this in a way a common statement known to us somewhat. Interesting thing is that we can sort of summarize our whole practice into this. Rather than thinking of various things, allowing the mind to scatter and sort of get confused. What shall I do? What shall I do? Is it correct? Is it incorrect? So likewise, we can have certain kind of perplexity even about our practice. But this is an, in a way, some easy point or easy concluding kind of practice where one may be observing one's mind and tries to understand what is available in the mind, what kind of craving is available in the mind. So Buddha discusses about different kinds of craving, different types of craving are there. Yayang tanha pono bhavika nandiraga sahagata tatra tadra binandini sayyati dang kama tanha bhava tanha vibhava tanha. So Buddha mentioned this in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So there are this craving, it has certain properties and it is of threefold or three types. Kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha. Kama tanha. So this is a common known thing that we all have sensual desires. So till one attain arahantship, so one has desires. On the other hand, if one is able to deplete certain amount of kama tanha, one can even become a sakadaga. If one can completely abandon kama tanha, then we say one has attained the anagami. But still other forms of tanha may be operating, like desiring to have a certain kind of immaterial, fairly sublime kind of experience, feelings. So then that means ruparaga, aruparaga. So those are still available. So that is also a kind of very refined level of craving. And that could be abandoned when one becomes an arahant. So likewise, if we consider the fetters, the 10 fetters, sanyojana, so there also we can see at the immediate level we have kamaraga, and next level we can have ruparaga, aruparaga. So ruparaga and aruparaga comes under the higher fetters, what we call as the uddhambhagya sanyojana. So those could be abandoned when one becomes an arahant. So we can see this craving is a fairly spreaded kind of defilement. It is available, highly available in the mundane, say, worldly kind of activities. Ignorant worlding is constantly being bombarded by different kinds of desires, cravings. When one becomes a seka, a trainee, his mind is somewhat free from craving. When one becomes, say, aseka, arahant, then only we can say, okay, he is completely free from craving. So basically this means tanha is one of the companion of our mind. So therefore in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta, Buddha summarizes basically tanha dutiyo puriso. Tanha Dutiyo Puriso. So this craving is the partner. So we think our wife is our partner, our husband is our partner, our fiance is our partner. So likewise we think differently. But Buddha concludes, okay, craving is your partner. So we have been wandering in this samsara for a long, long time. So everywhere we go, so craving is with us. It has never abandoned us. Every time, this partner is always with us. That we can guarantee. So whatever partners request, okay, we are bound to fulfill that. So that is the pathetic side. So partner requests this and that. Please, I need this. Please, I need that. So we humbly, simply try to satisfy those needs. Satisfy those requests. And the important thing is, this partner could never be satisfied. Even though we constantly supply all what she needs, still she asks another thing. She asks another thing. So can never be satisfied. So as a result of that, we always feel some sort of unsatisfaction, unfulfillment, lack of something. So that's why Buddha summarized, Uno loko atitto tanha dasu. So this world is always feeling like something missing, lack of something. The worlding can never be fully satisfied. Uno loko, atitto. So he is in a kind of an unsatisfied state, unfulfilled state. He don't feel that he is completely fulfilled. I don't need anything else. He doesn't have such kind of a mentality. Basically, he feels that I want something. I need something more. What I have is not enough. I need something more. Always this kind of frustration is inside. Certain amount of restlessness is inside. Because the craving that partner is asking and never get fulfilled, never be satisfied. Tanha, so this Buddha mentioned there, that statement in that Rattapala Sutta. Tanha dasu, one becomes a kind of a slave to this craving. Uno loko atitto tanha dasu. One becomes a kind of a slave to the craving. So again and again, this craving gives orders, and we simply try to obediently agree with that, try to fulfill that. And as a result of that, we are tend to satisfy our senses or gratify our senses. So when craving says, okay, I need to see a film, okay, I'm ready to open my eyes and see a film. When craving asks, okay, I need to listen to some beautiful music, okay, I'm ready to pay my attention and listen to some music. If craving asks, okay, I need some good fragrance, I can spend a lot of money to buy a very expensive scent, fragrance, and then I am trying to satisfy craving by smelling that. Craving sometimes asks, okay, I need some delicious food, maybe ice cream, maybe a chocolate. So I am ready to spend some money, and forgetting about my illnesses, I am ready to satisfy those taste buds. Basically, the taste is another way, another side that we can fulfill the craving, trying to fulfill the craving. It will ask it again, by the way. Never be completely fulfilled, but it will ask it again. Next, maybe it will ask, okay, I need certain good contact, a soft contact, maybe a luxurious contact, maybe a very pleasant contact. So it will ask whatever tangibles, and then we are trying to provide that. Maybe a person who is giving that contact, we may be associating with. Or if something, some material stuff that it is providing that contact, okay, we are trying to buy that, try to possess that, try to keep it with us. So likewise, we are trying to satisfy those desires so that we get certain amount of bodily comfort, bodily satisfaction through the contact. Then mind also says, okay, I am feeling bored, let me think about what has happened yesterday. How I spend my time really fantastically in some years ago. oh, what went wrong last time, so I better worry about that. Is there something to be worried? Is it something to be afraid? So we are seeking something to be afraid, and we start thinking about it. And even in the future, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, there's a world destruction, there's a great war, there's a tsunami. So we are sort of worrying about it, we are kind of having certain perplexity about it, and we want to think about it. So mind satisfied itself by constantly involving it, that kind of thinking. So we are addicted to overthinking. So tanha is one aspect leading us towards thinking. Tanha papancha. Different kinds of papancha are there, the proliferations are there. So tanha is such kind of a division or a stream which takes us into proliferation, to kind of overthinking. Again and again we are overthinking because tanha, the craving is tempting us, craving is guiding us, craving is promoting us to think. We don't know how to keep the mind in a kind of a relaxed, silent manner, but tanha promotes thinking. So we are constantly thinking. So tanha being fulfilled or tanha being satisfied, even by merely thinking. So you can see, I mean, we are in a way kind of a trapped situation through the typical five senses. We are going through pleasure principle, we are trying to satisfy, gratify those senses. On the other hand, through the mind, we are tend to overthink, we are addicted to thinking. So this is how we live. Tanha dutiyo puriso, diga madhana sansara. So by keeping tanha, the craving, as the partner, so one is wandering on this long journey. Itta bhava anyata bhavang sansarang nati vattati. So basically Buddha therefore mentioned, he jumped from this object or that object. He likes to spend some time in the eye, gratify eye, maybe then the ear, then the tongue, then the nose, then the body, again the eye. So likewise, from this point to the other point, from that sense to other sense, so we are jumping and trying to satisfy. On the other hand, from the long run, we can say, we are trying to dwell in the hell, in the same human realm, and we are trying to satisfy. And if it is not enough, we are trying to go to the heavenly realm, and then we are going to satisfy. Again, probably we may be coming back to the human realm, again trying to satisfy. So going from one existence to another existence. So kind of becoming is there again and again. Becoming is going on. So this becoming is another aspect of tanha. So now we fairly discuss about the karma tanha. On the other hand, the becoming. So we are tempted to think future, kind of think the next moment, our next event. So that is why, so we basically become somewhat unsatisfied in the present moment, because craving gives us certain kind of a frustration, internal frustration, asking something more and inclining towards the future. So therefore tanha is called as bhavanetti, where our minds are inclined towards some future event. Right now I am not that satisfied, but in the future I am going to be satisfied. Right now I am unmarried, so let me marry her so that I can become satisfied. Right now I am in a particular job, it is not good enough. Let me try for a promotion, so then I will be satisfied. Right now I am in a particular house which is not good enough. Let me buy a new house so that I am going to be satisfied. So I am currently not happy, so let me have some ice cream, so then I will be satisfied. I am currently in one country which is not good, doing well. Let me migrate to another country so that I will be satisfied. So likewise, we are constantly being driven by those ambitions, kind of different futuristic events. Even though currently the body stays here, our minds inclined towards a future event, inclined towards a future kind of a being, kind of a state. So this kind of tendency available in our mind is fairly influenced by this bhava tanha. So that is the ultimately why we become unsatisfied in this life, so we want to have another life. So we are going on and on in this samsara, expecting satisfaction, expecting fulfillment from life to life, from birth to birth. So this is the what we call as the becoming process available in us, the bhava tanha. On the other hand, the opposite also operating, so that is called vibhava tanha, where one is trying to reject the present experience. I want to get rid of it. So it is useless. I want to get rid of it. So I am sort of resisting the present experience. I am trying to reject some kind of a thing going to happen, and I am hating that. I don't want it. I don't want to meet him. I reject it. I hate it. So likewise, in many different ways, so we are not being able to accept or be patient with the experience. So rather we have inner rejection, attitude of getting rid of something. So then people even commit suicide because they are in a kind of a denial, self-denial kind of a process. Now that sort of attitude in the mind is promoted by this vibhava tanha, where one wants to reject something, one wants to end something forcefully, one doesn't want to be with something. So that vibhava tanha is also another aspect of craving. So we can see these three types of cravings are fairly operating together. Now say, if you are not satisfied in the present moment, if you feel that you feel bored, I want to get rid of it, okay, vibhava tanha is there. Now you are now anyway thinking of having a coffee, that promoted by the, say, becoming process, okay, having a coffee would be a wonderful experience. Let me have a coffee. I am now imagining about a good coffee, a cappuccino, whatever it is. A very good coffee, okay, I am imagining now, I am thinking about it. Now my mind inclined towards it. Now that is actually the form of bhava tanha. Now you approach that, you may be buying that, and ultimately you are enjoying that. Now in a way you are enjoying the coffee, so that means rasa tanha, where taste related tanha, craving is there. So that ultimately comes to the kama tanha. So these three categories of tanha are fairly interrelated, and ultimately craving is the one winning. Now different areas are there for us to understand this process, and on the other hand, Buddha further summarizes, yathapi mule anupaddave dalhi chinno pirukko punareva ruhati evampi tanhanusaye anuhate nibbattati dukkhang idam punappuna. So this is a dhammapada verse in the tanhavagga. So even if you are cutting a tree from the middle, if the roots remain untroubled without uprooting them, roots are there, then it will grow again. Similarly, Buddha mentioned, if one's roots of craving still available, the tendencies of craving are still available, even though you simply do a little bit of meditation and trying to sort of abandon craving, still it will grow again and again. It will appear again. Because the tanha anusaya, the raga anusaya, is still available. So one has to uproot that. One has to completely take that out. That's a difficult task in a way. So what we see is only the manifested kind of desire, but unfortunately the hidden desires, those tendencies in our mind, latently available, are not known to us. But until they are sort of uprooted, again and again, they will come to the surface and give us various orders, give us various demands, various requests. So therefore, this process is not an easy task to abandon craving. So in the Satipatthana practice, therefore, craving is considered, and we have to look for that. And basically, in the Chittanupassana level, probably you can recognize when craving related thought is available in one's mind. Say for example, one was able to keep a little peaceful mind, but all of a sudden, say, you got a thought, I want to have a chocolate. Okay, fine. Now, that is not because that you are hungry, but rather it's a kind of a desire which is arisen in one's mind. So, there's a desire. I want that. Now, in Chittanupassana, if we are able to recognize that, so typically what happens is we don't recognize that, rather we immediately try to fulfill that. So you are going quickly to the grocery, you are going to the supermarket, or you are simply opening your fridge and try to get the chocolate bar and try to eat that. Immediately we are doing that. Complete quick gratification. But rather than doing so, so once this desire arises in one's mind, so how about step back and watching it? Oh, there's a desire in this mind. So there's a kind of a turning point in one's mind, because so far we were not looking at them like that. Rather we thought, okay, I want to have a chocolate. So you are immediately acting upon it. You are immediately obeying that order. So rather than doing that, how about step back and watching it? There is a desire arisen in one's mind. Saragan chittanti pajanati. Suppose that you want to see a film. There's a new film now being shown or now available in Netflix, this thing, that thing, or different things, maybe in YouTube. Okay, you want to see it. Now there's a desire. Now desire is there. Now rather than try to immediately open your laptop and see that, how about you recognize that desire? Oh, there's a desire in the mind. So when a very good internet is there, 4G, 5G, then start there. So we tempt to quickly satisfy a desire. Rather doing that, is it possible for us to see the desire? Say for example, there's a very good song and someone is singing that and you simply get a little mark about it. And probably now you want to record it and maybe listen again. So this is another desire. Can we see that desire? So stepping back and noticing this desire in a way is little tricky thing, because mind doesn't want to do that. Mind just simply wants to quickly satisfy that, and that gives us some kind of a delight. But the function here is rather than quickly have that delight, how about step back and see that desire? Now that is the Satipatthana practice, what we are talking in the Chittanupassana level. So whatever thought arises, we step back and see that thought as a mere thought. So one may not be able to immediately come to this level. So that's why we have to practice certain amount of Kayanupassana, maybe certain amount of Vedanupassana, so that one develops this capacity. When there is an experience, rather than being trapped in that experience, how about stepping back and watch that experience? So once that capacity is there, then slowly one can look at one's mind. So when there is a desire, okay, there is a desire. When there is a like, there is a like. Then there is a request, a demand, then there is demand. So likewise, we can recognize so what is available in the mind. And the important thing is, once we recognize that, step back and simply watch it, it has the nature to fade away. It is not that we are trying to push it away, we are trying to sort of suppress it. Rather, these desires have the nature to go away. If they arise, they are subjected to passing away. So that's their inherent quality. So we are the ones feeding them. We are the ones promoting them. But they are coming to go. They are coming to fade away. They are coming to cease, to leave. Now, if we are able to minimize our participation, rather we can mindfully watch it. So this is a very good opportunity for us to see even this impermanence. How these thoughts, the craving thoughts, are coming and going. And once we see that, okay, then thoughts also become not a big thing. It is not something substantial. It is not something that we definitely have to attend. And it is not something belongs to us either. Thoughts are merely thoughts. So we come to a certain insight where thoughts are merely thoughts. They don't belong to me. And I can even, if I want, I can simply ignore them. I can step back and watch them. So these kinds of insights are very important, because then only one start looking at one's mind, thoughts particularly, objectively. Because one know their true nature, how they come and go. So as a result of that, one is now able to recognize that. So instead of fulfilling, instead of being a slave to that, now we are able to look at it. Now this step is mentioned in the Nivaranapabba. If we consider in Dhammanupassana, so there the important thing is, when it is there, you know it is there. When desire is there, you know it is there. And when there is no desire, kamachanda, sensual desire, and you know there is no sensual desire. So this is another state that actually we were taking from the Chittanupassana. But it is available in the Dhammanupassana as well. But the important thing in Dhammanupassana is that when you know that there is no desire, at the next moment, how a desire arises, the very first thought even, the very first inclination, very initiative demand happening in the mind, that also would be able to notice. Yathacha anuppannasa kamachandasa upado hoti tancha pajanati. So Buddha mentioned, there was no kamachanda, sensual desire, but now it is arising. There is kamachanda arising now. So you are seeing that the arising part of kamachanda. Okay, now it is there. It has already arisen, it is there. Yathacha uppannasa kamachandasa pahanam hoti tancha pajanati. Now it has gone. Now, since you were able to properly handle it, you didn't promote it, you didn't become a slave to it. Rather, you simply watched it, didn't feed it. Now it has gone. Now, when it is abandoned, that is also you can see. So it is now reducing, it is going, it has fading away. Okay, now it has gone. Now, once it has gone, faded away, a new one may not happen immediately. Okay, for that time, you feel that there is no desire, no sensual desire. Because what has arisen, it completely ceased. Now there is no desire. Pahinasa kamachanda, I think, anupadu hoti tancha pajanati. But maybe at a later time, it can arise. But for a certain amount of time, your mind is free from that desire. So probably in a future time, or say in your good practice, probably once it has gone, it's gone for good, does not come again. So that's the best thing. So that once you are able to abandon this a particular desire completely. And actually knowing that a particular desire is available in one's mind is a very, very important thing. So it is highlighted in several suttas. So, for example, in the Patama Sandhittika Sutta, in the Anguttara Nikaya Chakkanipata, and even in the second Sandhittika Sutta, Buddha talks about the immediacy of this Dhamma. Immediacy of this Dhamma. Sandhittiko Dhammo. So, this Dhamma gives us results immediately, without delaying, without taking any time. You can immediately see the result. So then one monk, Sivaka, so he's asking, Bante, what is this? What is this immediacy of this dhamma? Sandhittika dhamma. What does it mean? And then Buddha tell him, tankim manyase sivaka, santang va ajjattang lobam, attime ajjattang lobosti pajanati, pajanasi. Now, once you have a greed, can you know that there is greed? And he says, yes. And if there is no greed, can you know that there is no greed? Yes, I can know that. Okay, good. Yanko tvam sivaka santang va ajjattang lobam attime ajjattang loboti pajanasi asantang va ajjattang lobam attime ajjattang loboti pajanasi evam piko sivaka sandittiko dhammo hoti. Now this is even a result, or this is even an example of sandittika dhamma. So you are simply doing mindfulness practice, you are operating with your mind, watching your mind, immediately there is a desire, you saw that, now it has even gone, you even saw that. So you are immediately, you are attending to that. It is not that you are doing the practice here and going to get a result in the future. Rather, immediately as a result of your practice, that particular thought, that desire is abandoned. And you can see how peaceful it is. The result is also known to you immediately. So sandhittiko dhammo is such a electric thing. So basically when we start to operate in our mind, so all different kinds of desires probably we can be recognized. And it probably they may not every time initiate a thought, but it can happen as a little image. Maybe a mental image. Say for example, you had a very good chocolate. Now it is finished. You had it maybe yesterday. So today while you are sort of on your chair, once you feel a little bored, so that chocolate, that little piece, so that little wrapper, that chocolate, how beautiful it is, how tasty it is, a certain thought can of course happen, or else a certain image can happen in your mind. Because we are somewhat attached to it, we are bound to it, and now thoughts related to that can happen, or images, sanya, perceptions related to that can happen. So there we can recognize, oh, there's a sensual desire. Maybe it is promoting certain amount of bhava tanha also. So likewise, when we are sort of expecting some kind of satisfaction, so those previous satisfactory experiences can give us kind of an indication in our mind. They can pop up in our mind. They may tempt us to go for that again. But at this moment, rather than being fooled by that, driven by that, if we are able to recognize and abandon that, so then we are sort of fighting against this craving. So basically, these good things are not the issue. So that's why Buddha very beautifully mentioned, Nate kamayani chitran loke, sankapparago purisasa kamo. Tithanti chitrani tatheva loke, atitta dhira vinayanti chanda. So Buddha mentioned in the Nibbedika Sutta, there are various beautiful things available in this world. They are not the real culprit. They are not the real issue. Sankappa rago purisassa kamo. So you have kind of a mentally made, constructed, imagined, thought about kind of desires available in one's mind. So you are imagining about it. I'm going to have this kind of an experience. I'm going to meet her. I'm going to touch her, I am going to kiss her, I am going to hug her, so whatever it is. So I am going to buy that car, then I am riding that. I am going to buy that frock, I am going to wear that. So likewise, even before you are really buying it, even before you are really going to have that experience, you are even imagining about it, thinking about it, you are pre-living about it. So this is the real area that we promote our desires. And that actually guides us, that actually further drives us, pulls us towards that particular satisfaction. We are very much like being slaved. So we are now being driven to that desire. Okay, I am trying to fulfill that because now I am burning with that. The kind of inner burning now happens because I'm imagining that again and again, thinking about it again and again. Now I can't live without satisfying that desire. So those imaginations, those thoughts have made me kind of a really crazy person, where internally I'm now completely unsatisfied. Without fulfilling that desire, I can't live. So this is the concluding thought ultimately one may have. I can't live without you. I can't live without buying that car. I can't live without buying that toy. I can't live without buying that sari. I can't live without buying that, maybe a cricket bat, whatever it is. So that desire has grown to such an extent, it has completely overwhelmed the mind. Now, if we are able to stop that at an early stage, recognize it at an early stage and abandon it, then there is no burning at all. So with respect to Buddha, with respect to the what we call a particular proper yogi, a practitioner, Buddha mentioned, Api dibbesu kamesu ratin so nadi gacchati. Tanhakkaya rato hoti samma sambuddha savaku. So Buddha therefore mentioned, so even there are beautiful heavenly pleasures, but this practitioner is not desiring that. He does not delight even in the heavenly pleasures. What the real disciple of the Buddha is aiming at? He is aiming at destruction of craving, abandonment of craving. So you can see the difference. So the typical worldly approach is simply trying to satisfy desires. And as a result of that, maybe sense cords are not enough. These gratifications are not enough. Let me find something more. But it's available in another country, another foreign country, maybe in another planet, or maybe in the next life. Or maybe in the heavenly realm. But the disciple of the Buddha, instead of going for that, he is sort of determined to abandon craving. Tanhakkaya rato hoti. So his target is the abandonment of craving. So this is very interesting how Buddha change our attitude. And then in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta, so therefore Buddha mentioned, Etama adinava nyatta tanhang dukkassa sambhava visatanho anadano sato bhikkhu paribbaje. So very, very interesting statement here. So one now maintain mindfulness, sato, continuously as much as possible, and he is continuing his life without grasping anything, anadano, and vitatanho, without craving. So basically one is maintaining one's mindfulness, currently assume there is no desire in one's mind, he know that there is no desire. And without grasping anything, he is now continuing that state, that freed state of mind. Not allowing the mind to be pulled to something else. If that pulling happens, if that kind of a tendency happens, he may have to notice that and slowly revert back. Abandon that. And maintaining that very ordinary, pleasant, kind of mild kind of happiness, where there is no inner burning. So, vita tanho anadano sato bhikkhu paribbaje. So, one has to have a continuous mindfulness, sato. At the same time, now not continuing any kind of grasping, mind is fairly released, fairly sort of unassociated, not having any kind of an object. And vita tanho, now you are, if there are any desires, okay, you are slowly abandoning that either. If there are certain thoughts coming, asking this, that, you simply abandoning that. If there are certain signs appear in one's mind, promoting certain kind of experience, okay, you are abandoning that either. So as much as possible, the clarity of the mind is available. So mind become sort of unmuddied, so without any mud, without any kind of scars, stains. So the clarity of the mind is fairly intact. So one's responsibility in that sense is to retain that clear mind, cleansed mind, or we can say kind of purified mind, so that tanha may not pollute one's mind. Okay, I think with that we can conclude this episode where Buddha mentioned craving is the issue, craving is the one causing the suffering, and if one is able to abandon that craving, then one is able to free from suffering. So this is the concluding kind of statement, the contemplations available in the Dvaitanupassana Sutta with respect to craving. And with that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon, the Sutta teaching. And now I like to go for the questions.
Thank you, Bhante. There is one hand raised. Dishan, you can unmute and talk now.
Sarvan, Sarvanay, Bhante, I really like the talk today. The discussion was very much so valuable for me. I guess I thought there are few, with that talk, there were few points that I thought I should mention. And I think towards the talk, I guess I kind of realized, you know, I think this is a general statement. Before my question comes, I think the entire world is an as a child, we sort of brought into a world, and then we've been taught in the exactly the opposite of what we need to be taught, I guess.
Correct.
Mostly, you know, the consciousness, when you talk about the point five, talking about the consciousness, I think my understanding at this point in time with this talk, it is all what we have learned from since our birth, and it is about how our parents have taught us and as a society have been sort of groom is not the most appropriate word, but I have to use it. I think they are groomed for us to sort of get to a certain status in the society.
Correct.
Certain, you know, go through the qualification, try to build. I think this mindset now, I'm thinking it is the most incorrect and the corrosive mindset that we have been taught in order to sort of prolong in the journey of samsara.
Exactly.
I think what today's talk merely sort of talk about, you know, like to let go, to move away. So I think that is the best way that I can sort of see. So I think I'm now in a deeper puzzle. Have I done that to my kids as well? You know, like so. So I think now it's a massive dilemma for me. So I have to talk in a way how to overcome through that. With all that, I wanted to ask a question. That question, I think, came on when we discussed, when you discussed about point five. It's about the consciousness. I wanted to make sure that my understanding is correct. Am I supposed to understand, is consciousness, the learning of what we have gone through with this lifetime, or has the consciousness has some type of residues from our previous birth as well that has contributed towards who we are or who I am now to be?
Definitely. I mean, there may be a certain impact coming from the karma, our previous karma, our previous kind of activities. So basically, this consciousness is not anyway the same consciousness, or it is not a continuous consciousness we are talking. It's a momentary consciousness. When this conditioned consciousness is concerned, it's a momentary consciousness. And this momentary consciousness, by the way, gathering some kind of a momentum. So it's rapidity.
Okay.
Yeah. So its rapidity is there, but the qualities inherently available in this consciousness is coming from getting certain influence from its previous ones, previous consciousness moments as well. So as a result of that, we can't say that what we are having today, this consciousness is utterly a pure consciousness, but rather it is being polluted, influenced by the previous consciousnesses. So those may be the consciousness that we have experienced within this life, or maybe in our previous lives as well. So I mean, it's a kind of a complex process in a way. So how all this is stuffed into this consciousness, how all these tendencies, how all these influences, latent tendencies are stuffed in it, stored in it. It's very difficult to explain in a way. But that is it, because basically, so our consciousness is basically conditioned, colored. So how we are acting, how we are working, all are fairly very much like pre-programmed in that sense. But it doesn't mean that everything is karma-driven. You have certain amount of your will, but certain amount of karmic influence is there.
Yes. Thank you, Bhante. And so I also thought, you know, like when you were describing on some of these cravings, and the craving probably for me to consume a chocolate,
mm-hmm.
a piece of chocolate,
mm-hmm.
and then the next day to sort of see the wrapper and sort of dwell on the, wow, I did enjoy, and am I supposed to find something else? So, and go into the proliferations as well,
mm-hmm.
To seek for something more.
Correct.
Because of the past experience. Now, would that be the same when you really think about a hunger, you know, like I'm hungry, I need to sort of consume, or should I be sort of, I think I will be a fool if I sort of go in and think about, oh, this is a raga desire that I have got, and that's the reason. So how should you sort of evaluate those type of mindsets?
Yeah, correct. So that's why I basically touched that. Now, currently assume that you already had your breakfast and you are basically filled, and there is no any hunger, there is no real hunger in the body. But once you see a previous day that you have had a chocolate also, and now after having your breakfast, you get a little thought about it, you get a little image about it.
Temptation. Yes.
Yeah, kind of a temptation is there. Kind of a, you know, kind of seducing is there. Seduction is there. Now, now, even though you are not hungry, you are tempted to have a chocolate as well. Now, this is a kind of a desire. It is not really a bodily demand. It's not a really body is asking that because of its necessity of the nutrition, but rather the mind is desire driven at this moment, so we are now go for that. Now, if we are able to recognize this and abandon that, then there is no any harm happen to the body, or nutrition related thing. Rather, if we are able to recognize and abandon that, probably we can say, okay, I'm operating on this desire, kama tanha, maybe even bhava tanha. So I was able to understand that. Because, I mean, these are the areas actually we can work out. So, I mean,
sure.
all these practical situations are very good opportunities for us to understand the operation of the tanha. Because if we are in the meditative experience, cross-legged and maintaining fair amount of very, say, intense kind of mindfulness, then there won't be much desires arising in the mind, because you are thoroughly fortified yourself. But on the other hand, if you are little lapse in your mindfulness and going through a kind of easygoing manner, so then desires have the opportunity to arise. So likewise, we have to maintain certain amount of vigilance, but still allowing the mind to little, giving some freedom to operate as it like, then it may go for different kinds of desires. There we can sort of understand what are the desires still available, operating in this mind. So what are the tendencies available? So where are these influences are still going through? Then we can get a very fair assessment about our own mind.
Yes, I think that is, yes, I can definitely agree with that. And with that, I wanted to ask a final question as well. When you sort of go in the Pindapatha and then sort of serve your breakfast or your lunch, at the end, there is always the sweets, and you just serve adequate, because I experienced that when I came for that few days of the retreat, and I saw certain type of sweets I'm experiencing after maybe seven, 8 years later, because of my coming to Sri Lanka and being there. So I served them as well, and I realized after sort of consuming maybe the breakfast, and then there is not enough room, or maybe I'm full. Now I don't need to eat that, even that the desire, or I was just serving, thinking that I can consume it, but now I can't. I think best not to eat, so I have to sort of leave it out. Is that the kind of you wanted to see that, or do you want to sort of see in advance, or to sort of reject it? No, I think now you're full, so to not to consume it.
I think yes.
Or
not
to sort of even pick the very first time, because you have served enough. So I think that is sort of. Maybe the ways that you have to sort of think, what is your limitation?
So I think everywhere is all right, because I mean, whatever the occasion is good occasion. Say for example, even when you are serving yourself, that you think, okay, I mean, I have served me enough, so I mean, I have taken fair amount of food now, but still the desires are telling you, okay, grab another one, take another one,
yes.
Take another piece.
Right.
So that is another one moment that we can recognize those desires are in operation. And later, as you mentioned, say you are now having your meal and you have eaten enough and now you feel fulled. Okay, now hunger has gone and you feel full. But at that moment, still desire is telling, okay, I mean, this is a new food, or this is a very good food. I didn't have it for a long time. This is the only opportunity I'm going to taste it. Okay, you better go for that. Now, even at that moment, if we can check that, recognize that, that's another opportunity we can get to see these desires. So both opportunities are very good opportunities. So whatever the place, if we are properly mindful, step back and watch the operation of these desires, that's a good opportunity.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mante. Thanks
yeah.
for this beautiful talk today.
Yeah, Teruvan Sarnai. Okay, there is since there is no more question, Priyanka, have you received any more questions?
I didn't receive any question in chat.
Okay, fine. Good. Then we'll wind up the session. So we have spent almost 1 hour and then made a little discussion as well. So all these merits what we have accumulated, we share with all the celestial beings and all our past relatives and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path fruition Nibbana. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya ettavata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya ettavata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මං පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය සාදු සාදු සාදු.